Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say immigration.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap is off today. Phone lines are always open for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning to you guys on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And we have Shot or No Shot at this time every day. And it's brought to you by
the fine people at Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
All right, let's go with Shot or No Shot, guys, because we've always got choices, and so let's roll with them. What do we have for Shot or No Shot?
Good morning, Hoodie. What's going on?
JR, morning.
Happy to be here. How late were you up watching? Did you watch the whole All-Star game?
I watched parts of the All-Star game. I watched the first couple of innings and then watched the back half because Peacock and I are into this new show, The Old Man. No, it's not about you. It's The Old Man. The Old Man, it's on FX, because it's Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. How can you go wrong with those two? It's a mystery show, dark, but it's very interesting. So we just got into it, and so I think we're in episode 4. So we watched a couple episodes, then I picked up the rest of the All-Star game. But that's a show I think should be on your list.
Sold. I'm in. Yeah, mystery. I like that. Shot or no shot, guys? Former Bear... Mitchell Trubisky is getting heavy praise from Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. Mm-hmm. Here he is from his podcast.
I think it starts with Mitch. Mitch, we brought him in free agency. And I think the thing that we have to remember about Mitch is he's coming from a situation where in Chicago, they didn't really give him anything. and he still made it to the playoffs. I think he made it to the playoffs twice. And, you know, everybody likes to say Mitch did this wrong. Mitch did that wrong. Man, Mitch does a lot of things right. And hopefully I think we have a better team around him. And we're going to support him. Right now he's the, you know, our number one. But we don't know what it's going to be by the time the season kicks off. There's a lot of football that's got to take place. Like all we were doing in OTAs is running around in shorts. Like, I'm ready to put on some pads and, like, see how these guys deal with pressure in their face. O-lineman is literally, you know, folded up in front of them. DBs are really able to press. These are all different things that have to come into play. We know we're going to have a good running game with Najee. And so the load is not just going to be on what our quarterback can do. It's what you can do to manage. And, you know, you've got some really good pieces. You've got Deontay Johnson, you've got Claypool, you've got George Pickens, Calvin Austin, you got Pat Freiermuth, all these different pieces, and a Najee Harris, you're in a really good situation, and you got a pretty good defense. So you don't have to go out there and win us the game. We feel like we got enough pieces around you that you can come along, and you're going to be a good player. So Mitch, Mason, Kenny, they're coming in a really good situation.
The ever in demand J.R. Strauss had to run upstairs in the middle of that. So I'm taking over, Hoodie. And I take issue with something Cam Hayward said about, you know, the Bears didn't give him anything.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
He didn't want to talk about Mitch anymore? What do you mean?
Does? He had the bolt upstairs. So I'll take over from here.
Does he have the green apple quick steps? Does he have a problem back there? Diarrhea?
There must be something going on. All I know is he said, I got to go. I got something to do.
So I have diarrhea. Yeah,
shot or no shot, JR had a little emergency downstairs.
Had a little poo-poo because of too much coffee. So there's that. And so what's up?
All right. So let's get into what Cam Hayward had to say. Shot or no shot. The Chicago Bears put nothing around Mitch Trubisky.
No, that's a no shot. No, they put something around Mitch Trubisky, but it's interesting to hear Hayward's perspective because there's two things at work, if you listen very closely, right? So the first thing is that, Mitch didn't have anything around him in Chicago, and that he did some things right. The other thing is, he wasn't even sure if Mitch is going to be the starter, if you notice very close, because we've got Mason and Kenny, and he's talking about the draft pick Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, who's already been there. I find it fascinating that he's going back and forth on that. It's like, well, he's supporting Mitch, but also letting you know that there's two viable backups, just in case Mitch falters like he did in Chicago. One thing that Cam does not know is that Mitch had a hard time reading defenses. One of the reasons why he was pulled in the Atlanta game by Nagy, because he had a hard time reading defenses, and that's why Nick Foles had to come in to the mix and try to help this Bears team out. So, no, the idea that the Bears had nothing around Mitch is not true. Did you have anything around him with the coaching staff? That's a whole different story, right? I mean, it was Mitch and Nagy both learning on the job at the same time, and Nagy failed. I can make the argument that Nagy failed Trubisky, but at the same time, Mitch didn't read defense as well. And it's almost like, to me, the way I looked at it, Shay, was like this. So you have this voluminous playbook for all these guys. I've seen these playbooks. They're enormous.
Dude, they're thick binders, like 500-page binders full of plays.
And I think that at some point that you saw Trubisky with this binder, right? Big binder. And they saw how you played, and Nagy was like, okay, learn this much of the playbook. Then he realized that, man, he's having a hard time with this. So, okay, why don't you do this much of the playbook? And they were like, okay. Then all of a sudden his playbook was on a napkin. Seriously, because he had a hard time reading defenses. And so the idea that Trubisky didn't have anything around him is not true. So that's a no shot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree it's a no shot, but during this conversation, I had an impromptu shot or no shot come up in my brain.
Go ahead.
Because we were discussing, you know, the Steelers having multiple backups. Shot or no shot, by week four, Kenny Pickett will be the starter in Pittsburgh.
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. I think they're going to give Mitch every opportunity to succeed with this team, with this offense. And so I don't think they're going to unplug it that quickly. As a matter of fact, I can also make the argument that this is going to be friendly enough for Trubisky to succeed. You know, you saw Roethlisberger at the end run the football, utilize a tight end position. That's simple enough for Trubisky. They just don't want him to break it. I think he's got plenty of options here where he can look at the team and say, okay, connect to the tight end, run the football, you know, some passes to Claypool at wide receiver, and then it should be fine. But, no, I think that's a no shot. Trubisky will have the job. If you give me the over-under of six games, I'll take the over. Shay.
All right, we have a finalized route for NASCAR, their street race in Chicago. The course will run through Grant Park with Pitt Road going along Columbus and turn one being a left off of Columbus onto Balbo. The course will take Lakeshore Drive to Roosevelt, west to Michigan Ave, then north to Jackson, back to Columbus. So just a big kind of rectangle with a couple turns thrown in around Grant Park. NASCAR's senior VP of racing strategy, Ben Kennedy, said the cars will top out at 125 miles per hour and that their slowest will be, quote, about as fast as cars in Grant Park right now. So zero. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, spoke as well. She had this to say.
We put on big events in our downtown and particularly around Grant Park on a regular basis all throughout our spring, summer, and fall. So we know how to do this. We'll be working hand in glove with NASCAR to make sure that the experience is safe, but also incredibly enjoyable for the fans. And if you know anything about the city of Chicago, you probably know our tremendous lakefront and icons like Grant Park and Buckingham Fountain. So I'm looking forward to showcasing our fantastic city on a global stage. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that this race is a love letter to the city of Chicago.
Shot or no shot, this race is a love letter to the city of Chicago.
I don't know. That's just kind of a weird phrase, right? A NASCAR race is a love letter to Chicago. Nothing else. You know, just a lot. This NASCAR,
the thing that stopped being in Chicago 20 years ago.
Yes, is a love letter.
We're bringing it
to the
back,
city.
And it's a love letter.
I don't understand that phrasing. I don't know who wrote that for her, but I would say that's a no shot. If you're saying that, hey, here's a major event, and here's the thing I need to know, and this is where we need like a Danny Ecker to jump in on this from Crane's business. Like, how much of this is an economic impact for the city? Is this bringing money? I have no idea if it is or not, and how much of a windfall of cash will be there for this race. I'm not sure if it's any of significance. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I want to be respectful in how I say this, but think about the primary demographic for NASCAR, the fandom. Do we think that that fandom, that demographic, is going to pour into the city of Chicago for this street race?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know where do they. Where, I don't even know what this is going to look like. From a fan standpoint, if it's a race, are there stands set up for them?
Yeah, and they said that they're going to close down the route for an indeterminate amount of time before, during, and after the race. Obviously, it'll be closed during, but I imagine that's going to be like a month where they're going to have to put up barricades, put up safety measures, put up stands for fans, put up all these things along Michigan Avenue and Lakeshore Drive and Roosevelt.
I guess I would imagine because it's the first time we've ever seen it, people will come to see it. Yes, I believe so. People, just from the interest, people will be wondering what it looks like and want to be a part of it. So I say shot to that part of it. Shay.
All right, Woody. Nick Saban spoke yesterday on the future of college football with mega conferences on the horizon.
I think that, you know, mega conferences may be something that, you know, we all have to deal with in the future. I think, you know, probably, you know, money probably drives a lot of this. I can't blame people for that. It's sort of above my pay grade, though, to know, you know, what we should do as a league in the SEC or what any other league should do. But I think as we progress forward, the mega conference, you know, will create, you know, a little more of a caste system maybe in college football. And I think everybody's got to decide if that's the direction we really want to go or not.
Well, I think your opinion is as important as any. Is that a good change or a bad change in the long run and the big picture for a sport that you've basically dedicated your whole life to?
Well, I think probably for the haves, which obviously at Alabama we're one of the haves, it's probably a good thing. For some of the have-nots, some of the, you know, sort of, I don't want to know what you would say, second half of each league, you know, maybe it won't work out as well. Maybe there's some system like, you know, the pro soccer league in Europe, where you can, you know, play your way into it. I don't know how it all works out. I know that one thing that we've always tried to do is keep competitive balance in college athletics. And I think this could affect that, you know, significantly for, you know, some people in college football.
I think the interesting part of what Saban said there is that mega conferences will create a caste system in college football. Shot or no shot? College football's caste system already arrived with the college football playoff, and Saban has been the biggest benefactor of it.
Oh, that's a shot. There's no question about that. I don't know why he used that phrase for that, because it's already been apparent. The college football playoff and everything else that's been going on, say, over the last 10 years, he's been a benefactor from it. He's been able to benefit from that. So I'm not sure why he said that, but here's my overall thought. After thinking about this summer, Shay, here's what I think. I think that when it comes to college football and they saying, well, you know, we're going to get two mega conferences, it will look more like the NFL, I'm sure. When you have the biggest of the Big Ten and the biggest of the SEC all coming together, it's going to work itself out. We may not like it initially because we're college football traditionalists. I know that you are, and I know I am as well. But change, as I said earlier, change is always going to happen when there's money involved. And because of the television from Fox and from ESPN, they want to have the best of the best games. So if you feel like, well, you know, some of this non-conference stuff or some of these games in the schedule are not very good, well, now that's going to change. Because now you're going to get the best of the best. Now you will have an NFL-like feel to college football.
Yeah, it's
going to
be AFC and NFC, except it'll be the SEC and the Big Ten. By the way, people keep asking, what's the Big Ten going to be called when it's got 20 teams? It's going to be called the Big Ten.
Yes.
Because they're going to pull the wool over your eyes and make you think it's all about tradition and college football and old school college football and all this, when it's really just about money now, which is fine. That's the bed that they want to lie in. I get it. I'm going to enjoy whatever version of college football we end up with.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing it'll look anything like what we have right now.
You'll have better scheduled games for sure. And let me just tell you this, as we get ready to talk about Rob Manfred in just a moment, let me just tell you this. You see how college football is progressing, Shay? You see how that is? They're looking at it and saying, oh, you know, and I know there's certain regions of the South and the Mid-Atlantic area and also out west with the USC and UCLA that look at tradition. What about the tradition of college football? You know, Texas, and Oklahoma and the Big 12. What about the tradition? The tradition's been gone for a long time. And what you call what's happening in college football is progress, something that Major League Baseball can learn from. Baseball's still holding on to the old rules. Yeah, they got extra playoffs, sure, and they've got the ghost runner in a 10th inning, all that. But ultimately, they still hold on to tradition. And college football is not. It has not been that. Because if college football held on to its roots, you know what it would be? Baseball. Coming up next, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, on minor leagues and the future of baseball. You won't believe the living wage for minor leaguers and then what Rob Manfred had to say about it. All part of this program here we call Cap and J Hood Mornings, 7 to 10.
It's Cap and J Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood on the Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come in an hour from now, will you talk to Alex Brown and get his thoughts about the Bears? You know, training camp's going to open right around the corner, so we'll talk to Alex Brown about his thoughts about the Bears and more as we move forward here on a Wednesday morning. We go to Connor McKnight now, who covers the White Sox for the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino, White Sox Network, of course, for every White Sox game you hear right here on ESPN 1000, and loves baseball. That's why it's going to be a great conversation with Connor McKnight. He joins me here on ESPN 1000 with Cap Off. I'm Jay Hood. Hello, Connor.
Hoodie. Good morning. How are you?
You know how I'm doing. As a baseball romantic like you and I, you know that I had a wonderful night.
Oh, for sure. You watch the All-Star game, you tune in, you see everything from Denzel all the way up to Julio Rodriguez and Liam Hendricks. I mean, that was a good night last night. I stayed up, watched, I can't say the entire thing, but I'm going to go ahead and say 8 nights.
All right. Well, tell me this. What does an All-Star game or All-Star festivities do for the sport?
I hope that it puts a bunch of, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a friend of mine while I was on vacation. I stayed in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And this guy's a big sports fan, but he's not a big baseball fan. And he looks at me and he asks the same question that we ask every guest when we have him on the show. What does baseball need to do to bring me, a fan that doesn't like baseball, into the game? And I thought, well, last night ought to do a lot of things to get baseball fans towards the game. Whether it does enough, I don't know. But what an All-Star game should do is put a bunch of highlights, a bunch of personality behind things, and show fans things that they don't often get a chance to see. I thought miking up Alek Manoah while he was pitching was great. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a ton of fun to watch. I thought the broadcast itself was fairly understated and letting the moments speak for themselves. I liked Joe Davis and John Smoltz working together. It's mm-hmm. the first time, you know, doing what I do. It's the first time I've gotten a chance to really sit down and kind of absorb the two of them doing their work. Enjoyed that. Think that's going to be a treat for the World Series. And I liked that the production of itself allowed for those moments that we don't get to see during a regular season 9-inning ball game get to kind of rise to the top. I don't know that it was, you know, 3-2 ball game with a couple of homers is very indicative of this generation of baseball, but that's fine too. That's what you're going to get.
Connor, who was the biggest star that we saw yesterday? If I said Ohtani, Mookie Betts, or the field, who was the biggest star that we saw on the field yesterday?
I think you'd have to define, and this is, it's not a great thing for baseball, Hoodie. You know that, but I think you'd have to define we there. Who's the we? Is we the L.A. watching fans? Because then it's Mookie Betts. Is the we local baseball fan X who's got a team? Because then it's probably Shohei Ohtani. But going back to this conversation that I had with a friend who, you know, has fallen out of love with baseball, enjoyed it as a kid, but, you know, finds other sports a lot more interesting now, he didn't know who Shohei Ohtani was. You know, and I think that's really a big piece of what this game needs to change. Shohei Ohtani is the most amazing thing to happen to baseball in a long, long time. And what he's doing right now is unfathomable and unprecedented. You know, all this stuff about he beat this record set by Babe Ruth back in the 19 whatevers. It doesn't matter. Babe wasn't doing anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Nothing. I mean, that's the guy. That's the star. That is the guy of guys right now.
In our first hour, we did a topic about, you know, playing off the All-Star game from last night. We did a topic of who is the All-Star of Chicago sports for 2022. And as you well know, being around here, there are three rebuilds that I can name. You know, with the Cubs and the Bears and the Blackhawks going through rebuilds, it's I think that the city is bereft of what I would consider superstars. So I threw out there that Tim Anderson is the biggest star that we have in Chicago sports. And I said, I asked people to beat it, and they could not beat the Tim Anderson. Would you say that Tim is the biggest in that spot?
You know, I think you'd have to. I think you'd have to also say that with the caveat of all Justin Fields needs to do is, you know, X, right? I mean, yeah. It's the quarterback of the Bears, regardless of who he is, where he came from, he's that guy. And I think in a lot of cities, that's the case with your NFL quarterback. All you've got to be is decent, and you're probably eclipse that star power of a lot of other places, like unless you're in the city LeBron happens to be in, right?
Yeah.
But I think Tim Anderson's a pretty good answer there. I think there's a couple of guys, though, that, you know, behind the Justin Fields odds are probably poised to take that next step. Like, Luis Robert is a guy that can do that, right? Mm-hmm. I think Zach LaVine is a guy that can do that and rise to that next level. It all comes with a little bit of winning. Yeah, I don't know that there's a Cub on that list right now, and that's okay. That's just not where they're at in their cycle. But I think Tim Anderson is that guy.
Yeah, I had Tim, and, you know, some gave me Zach LaVine, but I said, you know, he just signed a new deal. I just said that Tim, to me, is the guy that comes up with the phrase, change the game. It is important for the sport to continue to grow its African-American fan base as well as on the field. When you're under 7%, that's a problem. You want to get everybody under the tent. Tim is one of the faces of that, and I think that that does matter for the growth of the sport.
I think that's absolutely true, Hoodie. I'm sure you knew this. I don't know that everybody talked about this. I didn't catch Joe or John mention this in the broadcast last night. That's not to say they didn't. It is to say that I didn't have the volume on the entire time. Tim Anderson is the second African-American player to start at shortstop in the American League All-Star Game.
Wow.
It's Derek Jeter and it's Tim Anderson. I was unaware of that up until the point where Tim was named the starting shortstop for the American League, and then that fact came out, and I was stunned by it. Yes, that absolutely, absolutely matters. And quite frankly, I think we as a, you know, I'll put this on us as baseball broadcasters, we need to be doing a better job of making that game, making fans of this game more aware of that fact and bringing this game to people that, that want it, making it more accessible, you know?
Yeah. Connor, last thing, and I appreciate your time. I just want to get your thoughts on the second half of the season for the White Sox. How much momentum can the White Sox have from the way they ended the first half to the second that could resonate?
Well, if momentum is the next day's starting pitcher, then you gather a whole lot of momentum if you put Dylan Cease on the bump against the Guardians on Friday, because that man should have been in L.A., as an all-star, or should have had the distinction of being named an all-star and said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm pitching Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and wipe out the Minnesota Twins, get my team one game closer to the AL Central lead, back to 500 for the first time in back-to-back seasons at the break in a long time for this franchise. Dylan Cease is that guy. Now, on the other hand, there are a couple of things that the White Sox need to kind of announces resolve here over the next few days, right? We need to find out how Luis Robert is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find out how Eloy Jimenez is doing. Michael Kopech is over his professional innings pitched, career best innings pitched, and he's looked different since the knee. He has managed a lot of those starts. If you wanted to, with the weird schedule the White Sox have, with these four games, 3 days against the Guardians, then a day off, then two against the Rockies, then a day off again, all after the All-Star break, you could get Michael Kopech a nice long rest if you wanted to. I think all those things are you know, what's being solved or probably has already been solved over 35th and Shields, the announcement yet to be made. That to say, they're pitching really well, and only one team scored more runs in the month of July than the Chicago White Sox, and that's the New York Yankees. And they seem to be playing a completely different sport this year. So I think momentum is there to be seized. You just, you know, like we've talked about for a while, you don't know you've turned a corner until you're, you know, 10 games from having turned that corner. Mm-hmm. They got to make it happen.
Well, have fun at Caps at Lake House. I know that you're having a fun time up there. I could hear the wind blowing into the phone. So hope that you're having a good time there.
Absolutely. Played a rousing game of duck, duck, goose just then. I don't know why. Caps been wanting to play this all weekend. So is it weird? Yes, of course it is, Arif. Are we indulging him like a child at a birthday party? Yes, of course we are. But here we sit, and I gotta go. He's calling Duck Duck again. I gotta go, Hoodie. I love you.
All right, Connor. There he is. There is Cap. Duck, Duck. Oh God!
I just picture him at the end of Chuck's raft. Like there's not enough room, like Titanic. You know.
That's the best. He's calling Duck Duck again. I've gotta go. The dismount was fantastic. Coming up next, we've got the ultimate question for you when it comes to Mega Millions. We'll tell you about that coming up next. It's Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Oh, God.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Hello. This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app where you can catch Good Karma Wrestling if you're a wrestling fan and know of one. Make sure they check out Good Karma Wrestling. The show drops a new episode every Thursday at 6 o'clock. You can watch it at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. We'll be on tomorrow with Gabe and Brian and yours truly talking about everything in pro wrestling, WWE, AEW, and everything else, and including Ric Flair's last match. Oh, man. He's 73. He's having his last match, JR. And we'll be talking about that on Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday at 6.
Still going?
Yeah, well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, his last match, quote, unquote.
Yes, the retirement tour.
So we will talk about that again Thursdays. A new episode drops on Good Karma Wrestling on the ESPN Chicago app. Okay. Mega Millions. You know the story and the question that always comes up when it comes to the lottery. Is if you hit the lottery, if you win the lottery, do you go back to work the next day? The answer to the question for me is yes. I love being able to...
that to is find, a fine.
Yep. Clearing it out. That's a solo clearance there.
All right.
See, I never get fined on that because I don't talk on the show. So I don't never have to clear out the show. I'm just kidding. I just want to get your reaction. I did that to pop you. But the question always is, do you come to work the next day? And for me, yes. Yes. If I win the lottery and hit this $630 million for Mega Millions, you will catch me with Cap the next day. I'm not leaving. I'm getting out of here. I have a contract. So I'm not leaving. I want to work with Shay and JR. Sure. Of course I want to stay on the show.
I like that you have a contract is the reason that you're coming in.
Yes.
You know, the contract is pretty worthless compared to what you just won here. I mean, that's not the reason you're coming in. You're coming in because you love to talk about sports.
And I have a commitment, though. I have a commitment to you, too.
That's personal drive,
yes.
I think, is what that is. That's what that is. That has nothing to do with us.
I have a commitment to you, too.
It has absolutely nothing to do with us.
And it is for me. Who do you think is sitting here, Cap? I said me.
You would come in if we weren't here.
Cap would still come in too, I think. What else would he do? Talk to his walls?
He's doing that now.
Yeah, but you love this job so much that there's no question that you would be in here even if Shay and I weren't here. Let's say Shay and I got the winning ticket and we were kind enough to donate some to you. That would be something. You'd still be here and we took off. You'd be here every day.
Shay's gone though.
Oh, yeah, Shay's long gone.
He's gone.
He
wins the Mega Millions. You wouldn't see him again. He's buying all of Flint. You're going to flip it. of course.
What are you? I'm going to fix the water?
Yes.
I'm going to go up to Flint. I'm going to flip Flint.
Yes, you're going to flip it. That's right, because of nothing else, value.
Yeah, I would be here because I wake up in the dark normally anyway, so I have somewhere to go. I would definitely be here.
But Shay asked a question that we're going to put as a poll question at ESPN 1000. All right, Shay. So $630 million for the Mega Millions jackpot. But what's the question?
So the Mega Millions jackpot is something that you simply have zero chance of winning. It's one of those things what? That you're going to buy the ticket, you're going to fantasize about it, you're going to have fun with your friends, you're going to have a lot of conversations. But at the end of the day, you are not going to win the Mega Millions. It's not going to happen to you. That's the cold, harsh reality of the world you have to live in. My question is, if I drop $1,000 in your lap, you can spend $1,000, but you can only do one of two things with it. You can either buy $1,000 worth of Mega Millions tickets, or you can bet on any of the Bears, Blackhawks, or Cubs to win a title in the next 5 years. Which of those two things are you doing?
So you just wouldn't give me the socks, huh? Wouldn't give me the socks.
No socks, no Bulls. You get the Bull, the Bears, the Blackhawks, and the Cubs in the next 5 years to win a title, or $1,000 worth of Mega Millions tickets.
Well, again, the question is, okay, I'm all in on the Mega Millions, but where do I get the tickets? Because if it's Southside, I'm never going to win. If it's most parts of the city, when you said at JR, north, up north, Wrigleyville, at some you know convenience store, probably not winning, right?
My strategy is to find the most unincorporated, far-out kind of place you can find. Of course, there's no reason for that except for what you see on TV, right, where the winners come from, right?
Right. I mean, to my local convenience stores in South Shore, I've never seen, like, a big banner that says, lottery winner here, you know, $630 million won at this store. Of course, that doesn't happen in my neighborhood.
You know, the store gets a cut of that for selling the ticket. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
If the store sells the winning ticket, they get a cut.
It's a large amount, too. I think if you sell the jackpot ticket, it's a massive amount of money to the store that sells it.
I like the idea, though, of unincorporated land. Like, I'd walk in there, and they're like, wait, what is he doing here? I want that, right? I want that in northern Illinois or southern eastern Illinois where it's like, you went to Eastern, brother? Nope. Came here for the lottery ticket. See, it's far away from home, aren't you? Yes. One of these tickets, please, or $1,000 of tickets. I'm choosing the tickets. No. Bears, Cubs,
5 years. Hawks.
You know what? I think I'm going, depending if it's in a different area, I think I'm taking the tickets. If you're locking me in the city limits, I got to take one of the teams. Like the Bears.
That's the thing, is like, because I asked
Don't
myself this question.
At that, JR.
I love that you think that your odds improved based on where you buy
it's
the tickets.
It's true. You know it's true. Don't be making
it's
fun.
It's a gut feeling is what that is. There's no factual evidence to that. Come on. You know that.
I'll do one Google search and I'll beat your ass with this Google search. That's what I'll do.
I asked JR this question this morning and he goes, I'm buying the Mega Millions tickets. There's no chance those teams win a title.
Not in 5 years.
There's no chance that you win Mega Millions.
Yeah, but at least I have
that's
a rooting interest for a night.
My question really is there a better chance one of these three teams wins a title in the next 5 years or you win Mega Millions? Mega Millions, by the way, 1 in 302.5 million is your odds.
You didn't ask that question. You asked which you would spend the money on.
For me, that's what it comes down to. I'm going to spend my money on the thing I think I'm more likely to win.
Bears. Out of those teams. I can't win if I'm doing it. If you lock me in the city limits, I know I'll never win the tickets. I'll never win the Mega Millions.
If you're doing straight value, it's got to be Mega Millions. It's investment and return.
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. What would you rather do? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. A great night in Los Angeles for the All-Star Game. Some of the good and some of the question marks that happen around the All-Star Game. We'll talk about that. Alex Brown coming up at 9:35. We're back with some baseball conversation and your thoughts on this. Mega Millions tickets or putting a bet on the Bears, the Cubs, or the Hawks to win it all in 2 minutes.
Miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm. Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad you're aboard with us here on this Wednesday. You know, training camp for the Bears and everyone else around the NFL will be opening up right around the corner. We talked to University of Florida Hall of Famer. I guess he'd be my favorite Gator. If I had a favorite Gator, it'd be Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us here on ESPN 1000. Alex, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. I want you to jump in on our poll question. You ready for this question?
Yes. Go ahead.
The question is, because you know Mega Millions is at $630 million. I know you got about a stack of tickets.
I do.
So Mega Millions is at $630 million. The question is, if you were given $1,000 but could only do one of two things with it, what would you do? Either buy $1,000 of Mega Million tickets or bet on the Cubs, Bears, or Blackhawks to win a title by 2028.
You said the Cubs, the Blackhawks, or the Bears?
Yeah. If you were given $1,000, but it can only do one of two things with it, either buy a stack of tickets, $1,000 worth of tickets for Mega Millions, or bet on the Bears, the Cubs, or the Blackhawks to win a title by 2028, what would you do?
Well, see, you didn't put my socks in it, so I'm going, just give me my stack of tickets, because, if you put the socks in it, I would have taken that, because I think the Sox have the best chance to win a title by then, but give me my stack of tickets. I think I got a better shot there.
See, I can't buy those tickets in the city because I won't win, but I tried Lake Forest. Maybe Lake Forest I can get some. That's I think I could probably win there. But
you gotta go to like some remote place, like some middle of nowhere place. Like that's what you gotta do, because you always see where they win, and it's always that place that's straight down like 65 or something, and it's a hole in the wall type of convenience store, and they're like, "Wait, you won $600 million out of this place? It's crazy."
JR, tell Alex what you told me, like. For the store, what do they get?
Yeah, if the store sells the winning ticket, they get a cut of the winnings.
It's 1%.
1%.
That's pretty good.
Nah, I want my money, man. Don't be giving people away. Don't be giving away my money. I need my $600. Nope. I came into your store, and now you get credit for printing the ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come out of your winnings, but yes, they do supply the stores that sell. Yeah, with a 1% commission on that.
Okay, as long as they don't come out of my winnings, then fantastic. Okay, great.
So we're not going to play the whole thing. I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version of what Cam Hayward said from Pittsburgh. He says, because Mitch Trubisky has an opportunity to start for Pittsburgh. We'll see how that all works out. Who knows? It might be Kenny Pickett. It might be the other backup for them. So the question is, like he says that Mitch didn't have enough around him to flourish as a Bears quarterback. And he thinks that Pittsburgh has tight end, Freiermuth. He's got a good running game, Najee Harris, good wide receivers. So Mitch has more in Pittsburgh than he does in Chicago. Do you think that Mitch didn't have enough to win? Because that's what Cam Hayward said.
No, I don't believe that. I think Mitch didn't have the coach that was willing to use what he had around him. I think Montgomery is just as good as Najee. He just doesn't get that opportunity. If you give Montgomery the ball 25, 30 times a game, then he's going to show that he's one of the top six backs in the league. I truly believe that. So if he gets that opportunity, he'll go off. You have decent – we've had some pretty good tight ends. I wouldn't say they were Pro Bowl tight ends, and we don't know where Cole Kmet's going to end up at this point. But you have to use the tools that you have. And the coaching staff that Mitch was unfortunately – he had – They weren't interested in using that type of playing football, that type of football style. They weren't interested in running the football. They weren't interested in using the tight ends like that. They wanted to throw the ball down the field 40 times a game, and that's just not Mitch's game.
I want to get your thoughts on what is something that's interesting to you about this upcoming training camp for the Bears. What was the number one thing you're thinking about going into training camp for this Bears team?
I want to see how Eberflus and his staff, how do they – what is their philosophy? What are they trying to do? How do they want to win? And is it a certain way, or will they adapt to the talent they have? So right now, I think your best player on offense, I get it. Justin Fields is hopefully going to be that dude one day. Montgomery is the best player on offense. Mm-hmm. He just is. Now, you got to turn around and you got to give him the ball 25, 28 times a game. Not touch it. I don't want to – don't swing the ball out wide to him on a swing pass and tell me he got eight of those and those are touches. I want him to get the ball and have that offensive line pound people so you wear them down. You shorten the game because you don't want to get in shootouts with people because you're just not going to win those. So that's what I want to see. I want to see if who's going to step up because Khalil Mack is gone. Mm-hmm. I want to see who's going to step up. I don't necessarily know that it's going to be Travis Gibson. I hope it is, but I don't know that. So I want to see what the rookies are going to do. Is Gordon or is Brisker, are they as good as we hope they are? You know, they need to be if we're going to win this year. So, and then obviously, I mean, everybody wants to see Justin Fields take another step forward, maybe even two, and become that leader, become that better player on offense, that one that you can lean on when you need a play. So I'm interested in it. I'd probably get a phone call after this if I didn't mention offensive line. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to mention offensive line here and how they come together. Hopefully they can all stay healthy and we can see a healthy group on the offensive line that plays, I'm not going to say play 16 or 17 games, but if they can play at least 12 games together, 14 games together, I think you get a real big year from the offensive line and Montgomery, and you'll see that just flow over into Justin Fields' game and see him improve. So there's a lot, man. There's a lot. We got a lot of young kids on this team. I didn't mention Jalen Johnson because I expect him to be that dude. Like, that's it. I expect him to be that guy. He believes he's that guy. I expect him to be that guy each and every day.
It's funny you didn't mention Eddie Jackson.
Nope. He's in that same group. Mm-hmm. He's in that same group. I don't know. I get the feeling like people feel down on Eddie. I don't. I still think Eddie's one of the top safeties in the league. I really do. I think when you start talking about a safety or even just players in general, they're good at some things. They're not good at others. It's Eberflus and his staff, his job, to put them in position to do what they do best. Let's not forget, we understand. We know who 54 is. When he first got here, they put him at Sam linebacker.
Right.
Okay, that was not a good deal. We wouldn't know him by 54 had he stayed at Sam linebacker. Mm-hmm. The fact that he moves to middle linebacker, now we all know him as 54, and that is Brian Urlacher. So keep Eddie Jackson in his position. Don't ask him to do stuff he's not good at. Just allow him to be great at what he does. I mean, we saw it with Devin Hester. They put him at receiver. You're asking a man to do something that's not what he does. You know, so it's just, if you just leave Eddie alone, allow him to be that playmaker that he is, I think he's going to be a monster. And then, I mean, 58, I don't know why he's not paid yet, but yes. I really don't.
Well, let's talk about Roquan Smith. We talked to Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago with Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Roquan Smith, as you well know, is a Georgia guy. You know how much I enjoy Roquan Smith. I knew that he'd be a difference maker. I didn't know what team he was going to go to when he was drafted. But when he came to the Bears, people asking me, Hood, you're a Georgia guy. What do you think? I said, that guy can be a cornerstone for this franchise for 10 years. He don't need to make the spectacular play, but he can keep everybody in place and still get his own. And so I find it fascinating that Roquan Smith is not, you know, doesn't have an extension yet. But I'm thinking if you're trying to build, I think Roquan Smith can be that guy for the next iteration of the Bears.
He is. I mean, he is that guy. I don't know if he can be Urlacher. I think Urlacher is a different level of player, but my gosh, he is headed that way. He is a tackling machine. It didn't take much. He's one of those guys, when you draft him in the top 10, he's what you wanted when you draft a Kevin White, when you draft Leonard Floyd, mm-hmm. when you draft guys in the top 10, there shouldn't be questions about is he the starter. No. Roquan Smith was a starter the second they drafted him, and when they got him in the camp, because that took a little longer, when they got him there, he has been a football player from the second he got on the field. So I don't know why it's taking so long. This guy is he is the heartbeat of that defense. Now, yeah, you got other good players around him, but I tell you what, you lose that guy right there, that's a huge hole to fill on this defense, on a defense that you don't have a ton of superstars now. So you need this guy, and he should be paid. He's one of – I saw it yesterday.
You've been hitting the head a lot, so you don't remember what day it was.
he's like, it's just him and Ray Lewis. The last two players with 300 plus tackles mm-hmm. and 30 plus tackles for loss in a 2-year span. Okay, I'm sorry, but if you're the only person in a category with Ray Lewis, yeah, you're already a cornerstone on a team. He is yeah. that guy. So they need to pay him. They need to go ahead and get that behind him and just let him know how much they love him, because he is that dude. So I'm pulling for him to continue taking that step forward. In this type of defense, he's going to have the opportunity to run and make even more big plays. And I hope that he has a direct connection with Lance Briggs, because I remember when Lance made that step from 04 to 05 and he became that guy. And you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is going to be special. And he was. And I think Roquan can be special.
Alex, I'm glad you stopped by the show. I appreciate it. Next time we talk, we'll talk about how we got to carry the ACC and all these other conferences into our conference and the SEC, man. With these two mega conferences. We got to talk. Yes. Drag Clemson, drag all these teams into our conference so they get beat down. So it's going to be so much fun.
Yes, I love it, man. I love how our commissioner said, we're already a super conference, so we're good. You know, we're already there.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jay. All right, baby.
It is Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago, a nine-year veteran of the NFL and a University of Florida Hall of Famer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. We've got Cap and Jay Hood's cut and also a wonderful animal story for you right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.